Hi, this is Pastor David Crank. Thank you so much for downloading the Faith Church podcast. I really love spending time with you, encouraging you, trying to inspire you the best way I can. Also, make sure you subscribe to this podcast, and every week you'll get a fresh one. A new message will be sent to your phone or computer. Are you ready? I'm excited about today's talk. Let's get going.
Come on, Faith Church, give it up all campuses today. Florida, you can do better than that. Weldon Springs, Ferguson, Florissant, Sunset Hills. I'm sure I forgot one. There's seven of them now. Everybody shout, good morning.
Good morning.
I'm so glad you're here today. We're going to be talking about For the One, because we all know the scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. For who? For just the one. Here's the wild thing about it. If you were the only person in the whole world, Jesus would have died for you. First of all, because he knows you're such a sinner. Everybody shout, he knows me. Because we're all sinners. We all, just because you sin differently than the next person doesn't mean that you are not a sinner. We're all sinners. In fact, I was such a good sinner before I got saved. The devil cried when I got saved. He said, we lost a good man today. We did. How many of y'all raise your hand if you were good at sinning? Raise your hand. Some of you still sinning. You're a liar. Try it again. Come on now. I want to give a big shout out to Earth City. They just spent about $500,000 on new equipment this weekend and sound, and I heard it sounds amazing. And then all the people, one more hand clap for all the people who at every campus, including Florida, were out cleaning it and mulching it. Give it up for all those dream teamers yesterday. Sunset Hills, it looks amazing. For the one, for the one, for the one. Now, Jesus is always about ministering to people right where they were. And this week when I got that car wash, I decided to just do that little iPhone video because I wanted you to see what it looks like to win people to Jesus. It's not like, well, I would win people to Jesus if I went to Bible school, if I had a stage. We all have a platform. In fact, now, through socialism media, everybody has a voice. Have you noticed that? Everybody's got a voice, and they're all saying a lot of crazy stuff. But you have a voice, and you have people in proximity that you're always supposed to have an open eye towards to make regular conversations to get them liking you, because likability actually will attract people to Jesus. And then you don't come immediately and try to clean people up. That's not our job. We're simply trying to say, hey, there's a lifeboat, and there's a lot of confused people in the world today, and our job is to get them on the Jesus boat. Our job is to get them converted into repentance over time, not in a day. How many of you like me, and you're still not totally converted? Raise your hand. I mean, you're like part saved and part gangster. Let's try it again. Florida, you're pretty rowdy this morning. How many of you, you're saved, but you could actually fall back into sin very quickly? It's like, all right, good. I'm just making sure I'm talking to the right people. So Mark, the fourth chapter, it explains how Jesus is just doing life like I was at the car wash. Verse 18. And Jesus was walking by the sea, which, by the way, is a great reason to live in Florida, of Galilee, and he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, and they were casting their nets into the sea because they were fishermen. Verse 19 says, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Notice how Jesus said, hey, you know, I'm going to talk about the thing that they're interested in. They're fishermen, so he didn't go up and say, hey, I want to tell you about a farmer. Now, when he was talking to farmers, he talked about farming. When he was talking to fishermen, he talked about fishing. And so you have to find out a commonality amongst people to attract them, mostly to you, which should be easy because you're so attractive. Look at your neighbor and say, our pastor can see well. So, come on, say it by faith. Look at him. Say, I'm calling things that be not as though they were. Come on, somebody. I didn't mean it. I might have. So Jesus was talking about the thing that they're interested in. And so then verse 20, it said, and straightway they left their nets and they followed him. There is no conversion without conversation. I love that. I just made that up. Actually, it's probably from the Holy Ghost. Somebody Twitter it and at me at that, please. I'm begging you. I forgot what I've said. You see, I got in pride and got all messed up on that. Try it again so it looks professional. Come on, thanks, Austin. There is no conversion without conversation. That's what I said. But you got to have the conversation It's like me right now with Nicole. She wouldn't have the opportunity to be my wife if she hadn't come up and asked me out. You know I'm lying, right? No, I saw her and I wanted to have conversation. Actually, I wanted to kiss her on the mouth, but I couldn't do that right away. Conversation first. Everybody shout, conversation first. Conversation leads to conversion. So really one of the things that you can do is like, so many people right now, like this vote really does no value on this dry stage in Florida. It's like, okay, this vote has no value. But here in Florida all the time on the news, we see that there'll be like 1,500 people get on a little lifeboat that's like 23 feet long, and they get on it, and all of a sudden the storm catches them. All they were trying to do was make it to America. Or, you know, you see that from Cuba, Haiti, they try, and then but this boat would become bizarrely valuable to people lost at sea. It's nothing, and it doesn't have a lot of value to us on stage, but if you were out there in shark-infested water, how many of y'all would be fighting to get in the boat? Raise your hand. In fact, the boat, if there were more than five people, somebody's getting hit in the head with the paddle. But we are that to the people that are lost at sea in humanity today because the world is in trouble. They're confused. They don't know who they are. They don't know whose they are, and they're confused about it. And so then the government gets in there and tries to combobulate it all and try to figure it out. And the government has been confused for a very long time. Do not look for the government for your advice. Do not even look to them for your STEMI check. Come on, somebody, ought to help me right now. I need my STEMI. I got my $1,400 STEMI. I'm looking to the government for my STEMI. Somebody's got to pay it back. It got quiet up in here today. I had to go there just for a minute. I'm here to tell you that God is your source of supply. God will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll be with you in the middle of a trial in 21, 22, 23, 24, and 25 years of grace and favor. Give God praise today. Come on, somebody ought to help me. Got my STEMI. People all excited about the STEMI. People don't even know what to do with the STEMI. They're walking into Target going, you know what? I never had a STEMI this big. Give me the big red beach ball out front of Target. STEMI. Now, Luke 19, verse 10, check this out. It says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save, come on, St. Louis, shout it with me, that which was lost. Jesus, his job was to seek out and to save that which was lost. I once was lost in sin, the song says. Jesus took me in. Now the song says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. So the world right now is confused. We're canceling everything. Canceled. Peanut butter cookies could be offensive. Canceled. Syrup could be, you know, on pancakes. Canceled. Preachers, canceled. You can't cancel God. You can't cancel the Word of God. You can't cancel the people of God. And you can't, somebody ought to help me, right? Try to cancel me. Watch us rise back up. There's a song that says, there's an army rising up. That's us, Faith Church. We have a job to do. We got people to reach. And we've got people dying at sea. And you and I have to all have conversations so they can have conversions. Why did he come? He came to seek and save that which is lost. Verse 12, it says, how think ye, if a man have 100 sheep and one of them have gone astray, does he not leave the 99 and go to the mountains and seek that which was gone astray? God's looking for you. Remember when you were not saved and you were out acting crazy? Raise your hand. How many of y'all spent more than a year? Raise your hand. How many it's more than a week? Raise your hand. How many it's more than a day? Some of you are like, I just put this on last night. Didn't even go home because I looked so good. I just went straight to church. That's okay. But when you were in the world, let me ask you a question. Was there certain times in the world where like you were doing stuff you knew you shouldn't do and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I think that might be God speaking through that song right now to me. Try harder. What can I do? You went to the hotel to do things that you shouldn't do. You opened up the nightstand, and there was a Bible. Timmy, you're so crazy, you never open up the nightstand? You're too busy, huh? But God has been sending little movie trailers, little songs, people, because God had been seeking you for a long time. Now, God is wanting to use your life, St. Louis, Florida, to change somebody else's life. But what looked irrelevant to the world a year ago, who wants a lifeboat in the middle of a stage? Nobody. But it is a time where I'm seeing people who would have never went to church, never asked God about anything. I'm seeing those people say, somebody invite me to church. Somebody tell me the answer. Can anybody make sense of what is going on? Yes, he can. His name is Jesus. I'm going to shout it again. His name is Jesus. Shout it with me on campuses. His name is
Jesus.
I believe God's favorite song is by Destiny Child. Say my name, say my name. Help me with that. Say my name, say my name. I know you ain't never been to a church like this before, but you're wondering why. Mark 16, let's go there, verse 15. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.
So good.
That's called the Great Commission.
Yeah.
You and I, point to yourself, all campuses, you and I have a job to do, and we are supposed to preach everywhere we go. In other words, we're always looking for opportunities to have conversations, because conversations lead to conversions. We're looking to just casually talk to people to make a difference in their life. That's what Jesus said. He said, your job is, Faith Church, your job is to go into your world. Well, I'm gonna take a mission trip to Africa. You're not going to do any good. I need to go to Nairobi. Most missionaries really live their life on the mission field, and they do great, great work. Then you see church people say, I want to go on a vacation and do missions, and they really never make a big impact. Now, go do that. That's fine. But just make sure that you're supporting missions. And when you give to our church, you don't give to it. You give through it. And we vet all those organizations. In fact, just this week, I saw one go out for $10,000 to help people in Africa. So I know our church does great things. My point is, yeah, you can go on a trip, but don't think that's what I'm going to preach. If you're a real preacher, you're preaching in the shower. If you're a real preacher, you're preaching at the Shell station. If you're a real preacher, you're at Starbucks. Somebody ought to help me. Wherever you're at, you're always preaching. And I don't mean you're dying and going to hell. Repent, you sinners. Hellfire is going to get you. I don't mean that, although I used to kind of make fun of that until a guy went to heaven, came back, and said God told him, it offends me when people make fun of those people. And there will be judgment on people that make fun of those people. I'm like, God, forgive me. I will never do that again. Because he said, those people might look weird to you, but at least they're saying something, which is more than I can say for most people. A guy went to heaven, came back. I don't believe that. I don't care. You might not believe that you're not supposed to take a bath and dry your hair at the same time, but I believe it. How about you? So I'm not saying you have to do that. That might not be your stick, but I'm saying you're called to preach the gospel. That means everywhere you go, tell everybody you can something to draw them into the kingdom of God. There's a guy at our church at Weldon Spring Campus. I'm going to go to video in a second. His name's Scott there at Weldon. And Scott has been coming to our church for a long time. And he had an idea a few years ago. He was already like the president of this company. But he said, I really feel like the Holy Spirit is leading me to get into the hand sanitation area. And so he became one of the biggest distributors in China and all over third world countries, and then here in America. And how many of y'all know in 2020 he making Michael Jackson money? Y'all, come on, somebody help me right now. He ain't gonna get no stimmy, by the way. He just makes too much money to get a stimmy. But this, a lot of times he'll send me a video saying, hey, I'm going out to make money for the church. Go pray for me, Pastor. I'm going. And so this last week he did it, and he showed me his collar. And so I said, hey, ship me a video because I think it'll work during my sermon. So check out Scott's jacket.
I'm out here doing some church fundraising. I want to show you a little secret. I had the word preach
shown
in my collar to remind me as I'm out here every day living my life that we've got to reach the one. I've got to just reach one more person for Christ and be my reminder that that's what we're called to do. So thanks for the message. Love the series. And I can't wait to hear you this weekend.
Come on. Preach. Somebody shout it with me. Preach. Preach, preacher. But he's not a preacher. He's a businessman. And he, when he goes out to do what he does, he, under his collar, it doesn't say hand sanitizer. It doesn't say cleaning products. It doesn't say money, 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 money. Bling, bling, change, change. I mean, the suit jacket does say money, if you know what I mean. Some of you don't know what I mean. I'm saying, anyway, forget it. But it does say, what is my priority today? And so I got to ask you a question. You can never get so busy you cannot prioritize people.
Wow. Yeah.
You can never get so busy that you don't prioritize people. And here's the reason why. I want to go to hell with you for just a minute. I got a couple questions. The first one would be, do you believe there is a God? Raise your hand. How many of y'all believe there is a devil? Somebody said, yeah, I've been living with his sister for 12 years. Okay, so how many of you believe that there is a heaven? And how many of y'all believe there is a hell? So if there really is a heaven, and there is, and there really is a hell, and there is, and the Bible said, listen to me, St. Louis, that wide is the road that leads to destruction, or highway to hell, and narrow is the road that leads to eternal life. And the Bible says, few be there that find it. So our job as Christ followers is if our life has been changed and God has rescued us, now our job is to get out of our boat, get into people's world, grab them, rescue them, and get them into the local church. Because most likely you won't convert them at the gas station. You won't convert him in his G-Wagon there. But over time, the Bible says one plants, another waters, and the Lord gives the increase. So what we have to do is reprioritize our life and realize we have to prioritize people, sharpen our focus to notice people in need of Jesus, and there's a massive opportunity for that. And we need to make our passion and our vision clear to say at the end of the day, it says preach on my collar, and if you take away the P and you put on an R, it is reach. So you've got to reach the people in your area, at your job, and any area of influence, and bring them into the local church. Somebody ought to give God praise today, so they can be rescued from hell. Nobody talk about hell anymore. Preachers don't want to talk about hell. Nobody wants to talk about hell. Why? And I believe it's pressure from the devil. I really do. Because people are afraid, well, I don't want people to think there is a hell. Well, they really need to think there's a hell. Because their blood, in fact, I got a scripture yesterday that I hadn't really saw before, and I want to show it to you. The Bible says that the people of God are going to be responsible for the people that they walk by, and their blood will be on your hand. Ezekiel 3, verse 16. After 7 days, the Lord gave a message, and he said, Son of man, I have appointed you as a watchman. Wherever you receive a message from me, warn people immediately. Let's all shout that together. Warn people, one more time, like you had breakfast. What? Warn people immediately. If I warn the wicked, saying you are under the penalty of death, but you fail to deliver the warning, they will die in their sins, and I will hold you, David Crank, responsible for their death. How many of y'all don't want that? Come on, raise your hand again. How many of y'all don't want that? Because when you get to heaven, I ask you if you really believed it. You said yes. There will be a great white throne judgment there, and God's not going to look at us and say, oh, you did good. You got a house on the ocean. You did good. You got a house in Tahiti. You did great. You made a lot of money. You did good. You got a master's. You got a doctorate. You did real. Look at you, what you did with your STEMI check. Girl, you did good. God's not going to do that. He's going to look at the people that we stepped over or hid the boat from or did things that we shouldn't be doing instead of the things we're supposed to be doing. which is when you go to work tomorrow, you're not there to make money. You're there to make relationships. And then if you make the relationships and you change their lives, God will bless you coming in, bless you going out, and everything your hands will turn to good. And you'll have an idea to get in the hand sanitizing business way before anybody else was interested in the hand sanitizers. It was really good to have all the machinery and all the stuff and all the connections. It was a really good time. And Scott, the guy with the preach on the back of his jacket, he was at the right place at the right time. Why? Because he was paying attention to what Jesus wanted him to do with his life. Everybody shout amen to that.
Amen.
Let's go to Luke 14, verse 23. Are we having fun today?
Yes.
Luke 14, 23 says, "And the Lord said unto the servant, go into the highways and the hedges and compel." Shout that word with me, compel. "Compel them to come into my house that it may be filled." This is Jesus speaking. "Go into the highways and byways and compel them." Make it compelling. Compelling. There's nothing compelling if I said, "Hey, why don't you guys come over to my house today and we're going to scrub the floors, take out the trash, feed the dogs." And, you know, how many of y'all, you're not interested in that. But if I said, "Hey, why don't you come over to my house today and Nicole's going to barbecue." This is my story. While we're dreaming. Come on, somebody. We got married. She only knew how to, you know, make minute rice, and it took her an hour to do that. But it's okay. No, she's good. No, she really is a good cook, actually. These are my jokes. It's just trying to be my attempt at being funny. My next attempt will be to sleep inside tonight with one eye open. But if I made it compelling, "Come over, we're going to have a barbecue, we're going to play frisbee, we're going to, what else you want to do, play horseshoes, and we're going to just laugh and have a good time and just eat." How many of y'all, that's more compelling. So you and I have to make church compelling. Which might mean you've got to actually go get Bob and bring him to church. "Bob, I want you to come to church. Here's a card. They gave it to me on the way out the door. It's kind of bent up now, but here you go. Easter, service times, locations. There's a bunch of, go, Bob." It's not compelling. You got to be like, "Hey, Bob, do you like Cracker Barrel?" "Yeah." "What's your favorite thing at Cracker Barrel, Bob?" "Man, I love pancakes, peanut butter on the side of that thing, the crispy edges right now. I just love." Anybody else getting hungry in here right now? I'm only saying this because every location we have, and this is one of the reasons I know it's God, the location is because there's always a Cracker Barrel within 1 mile. I promise you, there's a Cracker Barrel right at the corner of 95. There at Earth City, just right across the bridge, there's one. There at Sunset Hills, you just go into Fenton, it's right there. Weldon Springs, it's 2 miles from you. Everybody, it's like, Cracker Barrel is like God. It's kind of omnipresent. Okay, so now you sell Bob on Cracker Barrel. "Bob, how about this Sunday at 8 o'clock? I go get you and we go to Cracker Barrel." "Yeah, man, let's do it." And then afterwards, I want you to go. This church got this that I go to. I mean, it's just got great music. It's like a U2 concert. It's just amazing. Or if he's a country boy, it's like Willie Nelson smoking weed with a bandana. It's unbelievable. Got quiet in here, but we do have people at our church that are very herbal. People for real, because they watch this on television, like, "Man, I was watching you in the middle of the night when I was smoking weed. And I was so high, and you were so funny. And then I passed out, and I woke up, and there you were again, man. It was like a miracle." I was like, "No, buddy, we bought the 2 a.m. slot, the 6 a.m., and the 8 a.m., and we were there for you." They're like, "Man, that's awesome. I'm talking about Pastor Phil right now. Give him a hand." Man, I'm messed up today. I don't understand this. I take 1 week off and I come back with a bunch of weed jokes. Okay, so as we kind of bring this to a close, make it compelling. Everybody shout it again. Make it compelling. So you're laughing right now. What am I doing? I'm making my preaching compelling. I could get up and say, "You know what, you guys, you never invite anybody to church, and I'm about sick and tired of it. People are dying and going to hell. What the heck are you doing?" Ah! How many of y'all think that's not very compelling? But if I paddle up alongside you, get you laughing about medicinal marijuana, and now you're just laughing away. Start cracking jokes on Nicole's minute rides, and then now you're saying, maybe I will invite Bob to church, because it's like a comedy club. Because when you go to a comedy club, you got to get drunk for the guy to get funny, but it's 9 o'clock on a Sunday morning, and this guy's pretty funny. I'm here to tell you, make church compelling. It should be easy, because this is the greatest church in the whole wide world. Give God praise today. Even got a little piano on it there. Proverbs 11:30. We're almost done, guys. Proverbs 11:30 says, the fruit of righteousness is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. He that winneth souls is what?
Wise.
Wise. It's the smart thing to do, because for real, hell is real. And we don't know, but one minute, somebody has a heart attack. You thought you'd get to see them again, and then bam, they're in a car accident. Life is fragile. Life is short. Life is quick. Physical life, but eternal life, where you're going to live forever, really matters. So God's view of everything is much different from the view he has in the boat. He looks out and he sees eternity. He doesn't see you went to kindergarten, you went to high school, you got locked down during COVID, started releasing you a little bit again, scared the fire out of you, gave you a shot, and it's all better now. Then God sees it and he goes, I see what is going on in secret rooms. And I'm going to take care of you and I'm going to protect you. But there's a whole lot of people that have committed suicide in 2020 and are still doing it because they are missing conversation. People say, I'd just rather die than be here in this nursing home alone. I just die. Because the enemy came to do what? To kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I've come that you might have eternal life. So here's what we have to do. Guys, this isn't an option. Hear me yelling at you at every single campus. Ferguson, listen. Weldon, listen. We need to have more services, more venues. For what? More people. But here's what happens at big churches like ours. You know, there at our city, you might be walking in today and you see a $21 million building and 177,000 cars drive by a day. You think, well, I'm here at this big church and they bless me and make me feel better. And I take my notes and get my bulletin, so I got a receipt that I've been to church. Then I go home. Or Sunset Hills, you're sitting there looking at that $37 million campus. Wonder how this big church got started. I wonder how that place. You know how I got started? It was just two kids, me and Nicole, going out into St. Louis, witnessing to people everywhere, getting people saved. And our heart to do the small thing led us to the big thing. And I'm here to tell you that God called you to live right now. And you have a job to do. And that job is to take your boat out into your world and let people know, even if they don't look like they need it. Because everybody's wearing a mask, but everybody's been wearing a mask. I'm okay. I don't need it. I'm not hurting. And that's one of the reasons why people identify with me and Nicole. Why is put our pain on display? She talks about being molested as a kid, being raped in her teenage years, being a single, unwed mother. She's not embarrassed about that. She puts that on display. Most people try to cover it up. Don't you want to be like me? No, we always talk about. I talk about being divorced and betrayed and sabotaged and a sinner and all the things that I did so that it would encourage everyone to understand God doesn't pick perfect people. He just picks people, and his perfection cleans us up. Go ahead, give God praise today. Come on, make some noise out there. So we have to do our job in the Great Commission to go make disciples. Last thing, I got like a minute, 21 seconds left, and if I paid attention to the clock. But there's a couple things I want to say there. There's a guy in the Bible, and I want to find that passage for you. His name is Philip. Here we go. As Philip and an angel of the Lord said to him, starts speaking, God speaks to people, go south down to the desert that runs near Jerusalem and Gaza. And he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia. This is a very important guy. A eunuch, Google that, under the authority of Ethiopia. Verse 28 says, and when he now returned, this very important official was seated in his carriage. He was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The word of God was getting him saved. And the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go over and walk beside the carriage. Walk beside the G-wagon. Have conversations with the guy. And he says, hey, do you understand what you're reading? And the man replied, the Ethiopian replied, how can I unless someone instructs me? And he urged Philip to come into the carriage, come into my car, and sit with me. And then he started breaking down the scripture for the Ethiopian guy. He didn't watch a TV preacher. He was just doing life, led by the Holy Spirit. He walks up beside, that's what a true Christian does. He walks with a preach on his collar, and he just walks beside other people who don't understand what's going on in the world, and then he breaks down the word of God to him. And now this guy ends up saying, if you read the rest of the passage, the eunuch says, hey, they started reading about baptism, which is something you need to do when you go through growth track. And he says, hey, there's water. What prevents me from being baptized? He said, let's do it. So Philip just jumps out of the G-wagon with the brother, throws him in the water, and baptizes him, and he comes up. And baptism is just that. When you receive Jesus in your heart, that's great. But baptism is the outward expression or the public demonstration that Jesus is your Lord. And now you go down, signifying the death and burial of Jesus Christ, and then you're resurrected into a brand new life. And if you haven't done that, I'm telling you, it's biblical. You must do it. But my point of this is, this guy was so hungry. He was saying, hey, give me the whole thing right now. I want the whole deal. Make it a large. Would you like to supersize that? Heck yeah. Give it all to me. He's rolling as a very important person in a very fancy vehicle. He's got a driver. He's in the back of the carriage. And then now, he says, there's got to be more. Your friends at work. Listen to me, St. Louis. People around you are expecting you to invite them to church on Easter. Now, last Easter, first time in history, the government made it illegal for Christians to go to church, which was diabolically wrong. I'm going to shout it again for all the people who have been duped by the government. It is wrong to suppress people from their God-given freedoms. The government is not here to control us. We are here as the controlling people. Somebody ought to give God praise today. The government is not in charge. It's a government for the people. It's not to control the people. And all the smart people, give that a hand right now, because other people will follow if they're not freaked out about, oh, they might cancel him. Cancel me. I don't need this job, because it's not a job. You can't cancel prophets. You can't cancel the Holy Ghost. You can't cancel the Bible. In fact, you can't even cancel Jesus. They tried to cancel it. They killed it, and he came back. How? Give Jesus praise today. Come on, give Jesus praise today. He came walking on that Sea of Galilee, and he's going to come back and split the eastern sky. And we're getting super close to it, homie. So people, get ready. Tell everybody everywhere. Don't just tell them about church. Drag them up in your boat and bring them to church. Stand up with me. Every campus stand. And let's talk about this as we bring it to a close. When Jesus was walking there in that scene that was recently shot in the Sea of Galilee, and I've been there, Jesus had a lot of wonderful experiences there. And really what he had was a lot of conversations that led to conversions. Philip is walking next to the dude's G-wagon. Oh, you're reading the Bible, are you? Has the conversation. leads to the next level of conversion. So if you've been here at Faith Church for a while, I want you to raise your hand at all campuses. If you've been here more than a year, raise your hand. Okay, so here's what I would like to do, but I'm not going to do to you. I would like to ask you to raise your hand and say, how many are in a small group? And I'm not going to do it because I don't even want to know. But you need to be in a small group. And not only do you need to be in one to learn, be around people like Scott Criswell, he is in one. And you get around other people, and the Bible says that iron sharpens iron as one sharpens another. People sitting at the RPC campus right now, a lot of you guys are in groups. You're doing incredible. But you also should graduate from just going to groups. You should start a group. And what is a group? It doesn't just mean that you sit down and read the Bible together. There are groups like that, but there's motorcycle groups. There's bike riding groups. There's bowling groups. In other words, what I want you to do is I don't want you to do life alone anymore or do it with the people that you used to do it with, because the people that you used to do it with perhaps caused you to slide out of the boat and back into that old pattern. So Philip brought great conversion to the Ethiopian when he sat down in the car with him and they just did life together. So at Earth City, Sunset Hills, Weldon, Ferguson, RPC, online, here in Florida today, you need to find out about Growth Track. You need to go to the hallway and ask, how do I get in Growth Track? How do I get baptized? We do that here. Because we have a church to build. We do. Again, just so everybody's clear, the government destroyed all churches in America. Put them away. Why? Because the loudmouth, bold preachers cause a problem to their narrative. It's exactly the same people that killed Jesus. I'm not worried about them canceling me because I pay for my own airtime to the tune of millions of dollars. So all they do is put on the bottom, the views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of this station, okay? They don't do that to the Grammys when people are rubbing each other off on a stage. Got too raw for you, but you saw it. If you didn't see it, you're probably under a rock. The world is pushing an agenda that is sending people in a boat over Niagara Falls into hell. But I want to warn the people because I don't want the blood on my hand. I want to say, get in the boat. The hour's late. Time's short. Jesus is coming. Everybody, everywhere, every campus. Next Sunday, you need to have somebody with you in your boat. You need to be praying for people everywhere. God save them. God heal them. God deliver. Oh, God, don't let them go to hell. When's the last time you prayed that prayer? Oh, Jesus, don't let my neighbor go to hell. Every head bowed and every eye closed. I got a couple questions to ask, and nobody's looking around, I promise you. Nobody but me and the Lord. But I want you to raise your hand if you say, Pastor, I have not been a soul winner. I have not been telling people about Jesus. Raise your hand. Be honest with me. Come on, all campuses, raise your hand. You can put it down. Now I want you to raise your hand if you say, Pastor, I feel convicted today. Starting right now, I'm going to kind of put a preach on the back of my neck. And everywhere I go, I'm going to invite people, bring people. I'm going to be evangelistic about getting people in my boat and getting them to church. Raise your hand high. I want to see it. Come on, Earth City. Come on, Ferguson. Come on, Weldon. Come on, RPC. Every campus. Keep it up. I want to see it. I want to see it. I want to see it. You can put it down. Thank you. Now pray this prayer with me. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, forgive me, Lord, for hiding my candle, putting it under a bushel. Forgive me, Lord, for not going public with my faith. I am free as an American right now to talk about Jesus. So Jesus, I will talk about. I'm free to talk about church, and church is where I will be because it is my right to be there. And while I have that right, I'm going to use that right. I declare and decree that all of my friends, my family that are lost by this Easter, they will be at church. And Good Friday, I'm coming to church to thank you, Jesus, personally, for dying on the cross for me. I don't miss Good Friday. And I bring all my friends on Easter because they need Jesus. And everybody said amen and amen. Give the Lord a great big hand today if you love it. I want you to check out Mary's story.
Hey, thanks again for joining the Faith Church Podcast. Again, join us each and every week. Can I ask you this? Go to Apple, rate us, put a rating there, put a comment in, leave a review, and invite somebody. Share this with them today. Hey, and don't forget to tag us on social media. If you're liking the podcast, tag Pastor David at David Crank, at Nicole Crank, or at Your Faith Church on Instagram. We want to repost. We want to see what your experience looks like. Also, for the bonus content, the bonus podcast from Pastor David, content where he talks about so many different things, personal, finance, revelation, hearing from God, you can only find it now on the faithchurch.com app. So go to your app store, type in faithchurch.com, boom, it's right there. It's a free app. Make sure to download it today. On the homepage, you can go and download that bonus podcast right from the app. I'm talking, you can listen to each and every session, but whatever you do, go check it out today. Download the app. But until next time, join us right here next week on the Faith Church Podcast.